This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When your friends have a spouse, your relationship with that friend isn't just between you two anymore.
Yeah.
Their partner is going to have a say in all of your plans. Odds are their partner is also going to hear all the things you say to them.
Yeah.
And it's something we need to keep in mind as we read a Facebook message from a man who believes he and a buddy were in for an exciting couple months of bro nights.
And it was like a brocation.
It was a season's worth of brocation.
Oh.
The man who wrote us claims he has been hung for over $1,000.
God damn.
And is demanding he get the money his buddy promised him. But his buddy says there's nothing he can do.
Wait, so he went with a no refund type of situation?
It's definitely a no refund type of situation.
Why would you do that?
Because his buddy said he was good for
it. I know, but man, you got to make sure.
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. Your Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
Take the ice for the first time tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but it's like a weird time.
Yes, they're opening the season in Prague. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock live right here on 96.5
WCMF. They're in Prague?
They are Prague pucking, buddy.
All right.
Which is one of my favorite Bee Gees songs. Prague pucking, pucking
at Prague.
Puck drop 1 o'clock live here on CMF. So if you'd like, you can pop in some headphones, catch it at work.
Okay.
Right? Big season. Very excited. Sabres fans are pumped. Well, all but one, it turns out.
Oh.
Because of a situation involving he and what sounds like a former buddy.
Wait, so this is a Sabres situation?
Yes. And cool. This is a Facebook message we got from John over the weekend. We finally have time to get to it.
All right, what happened?
You ready?
All right.
Quote, my friend and I got Sabres half-season ticket packages like a month ago. Are you familiar with this?
So you don't, is that a season pass?
It's 20 games instead of the, yeah.
It's like a package.
You got it. So there were, he goes on, John does. There were so many good seats to pick from, we decided it was smart to do it now and have them for a while. It was my idea, but he totally committed and told me he'd split everything right down the middle. The cost of the tickets, gas to the games, and parking when we get there. A few days ago, when I went to him for half his money, or half of the money, he called me and said he couldn't do it anymore.
So he stiffed his buddy?
He said he never talked to his wife about it.
Ooh.
And when she found out what his portion cost, she shut it down.
So she kiboshed the whole thing.
He said he was sorry, but there was nothing he could do, which to me is unacceptable. I'm sorry, I probably didn't read that the right way. Let me read it the way he probably said it. Ready? Which to me is unacceptable. He committed. You made a commitment.
Yes.
I have paid over $2,000.
So this package was 2 G's for the two of them.
That's what it sounds like.
All right, so he has to eat his grand.
He goes on, personally, I can't afford to let this sit on my credit card all season while I try to pay it down. I've looked into small claims courts as I have text messages where he agreed he'd pay for his half, but I don't know how well that would work. Is there anything else you guys can do, you guys can think of, where I can get my money?
You're asking us? Like, I'm a lawyer?
Well, I mean, you have stiffed a lot of people, so what did they try to do to you? I guess
they divorced me.
Okay.
No, I mean, I don't think there's anything you can legally do. You don't have any, like, legal document. It's just it's a verbal agreement between two dumb hockey buddies.
He says he's got text. I mean, if he says, I'll
get you. Does that mean anything?
That's what I'm asking.
Is that a written contract?
I don't know. I mean, there are.
I mean, you did agree, but.
That would be a verbal agreement, but it had to. Take that to court?
It's in writing, buddy. I got it right here. Look, I don't know what the answer is. If there is someone who knows the law, 252 WCMF, and it is safe to say, if you're ready to take your buddy to small claims court, that friendship is over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
well
no longer.
Quits.
Right. So, there's nothing he can do.
All right. Obviously. Are you going to say something, Kimmy?
No, I was just also wondering, because you know how like everybody has that one friend who just says yes to everything and then they always kind of manage to bail, like, right before it's coming.
Okay.
Like,
yes,
because it's like they act like they're really interested in the second in the moment, and they're kind of all in on planning it. And as time goes on, you can sense that their interest has fallen off.
Okay, but if I spent $2,000 on these tickets,
yeah,
I mean, look, I get it, I understand.
I'm just saying, like, know your flaky buddies.
All right, but here's the thing: I don't think it has to do with flake. Obviously, the guy who said, let's do this, and bailed is in the wrong, mm-hmm. right? He should not have committed without talking to his wife. That being said, John here, who wrote the Facebook message.
They got to organize this whole little debacle.
He might need to be a little more understanding.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't seem like John is in a relationship based on his Facebook page, because I wrote him back and he never responded to me. So maybe he doesn't quite understand the situation. But when you have a buddy that is in a relationship, married, whatever, you kind of have to anticipate this being a
He's
problem.
He's working
right?
with handcuffs, man.
Okay.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah.
But you just know you got to check off with mama first, because that's where this deal is going to happen,
okay.
or not.
So is that on John, who wrote us the Facebook message, or is that on his buddy who has the wife? Who is more responsible for making sure the wife has signed
John.
Off on it? John. Oh, so wait, you're saying the guy who is out the money,
yeah.
who spent over $2,000 and is looking for his half of that, should have gone to his buddy's
wife. And you
wife.
Know when you're old, you know when this guy, if he's you know, if he's kind of whipped, right? You know, and we're all whipped to a degree. And depending, you know what kind of relationship he has with his old lady. You can kind of see what he can and can't do. Like, we had a busted buddy, right? And remember
By the way, that narrows it down to everybody.
He went south, and we ran into a mutual buddy that had loaned him money.
Oh, right.
And he comes up to me and he goes, hey, have you seen so-and-so? And I was like, no, why, man? He goes, well, you know, he's stiffy for like $2,000. I'm like, you gave that dude $2,000, you idiot. What did you think? That dude doesn't have bus fare to get down to his mailbox. And you gave that dude $2,000? Like, what were you? I was more mad at him. Like, everybody knows this guy was busted. His nickname said, I am busted. But and you gave him money.
But here's the thing. This guy who John was going to split the Sabres tickets with may not have been busted. He may have the money. It may just be like his wife found out what they cost, 20 nights over the next couple of months of having a few beers and watching live hockey.
But it's a lot of commitment.
Yeah.
And it's also not a desirable ticket. It isn't like... It's not like the hottest ticket in town is going to be 20 Sabres.
No, but hold on. I understand where John's coming from, because I did the same thing with my Bills season tickets. I got him in 2012, whatever, when they were about to go on strike.
Right.
You get in on the ground floor, you get dynamite seats.
I understand.
When the Sabres get good again, not only are those seats super valuable, you're there for every game. But Kimmy, you were saying, I'm sorry.
How close to the actual event did he bail?
It says a few days ago, so we got this over
the
weekend.
So the season starts Friday.
On Friday, he said a few days ago. But
I think that also factors into it, too, because it's like, hey, man, like, you didn't even give me time to try to find somebody else to take that. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's also crappy in the fact that, like, they waited until the last minute to you know... confirm.
But it's also possible that John's buddy was under the impression that his wife would be okay with this. And I kind of sympathize with the guy that's stiffing him. Because, like, look, man, if my buddy came to me and said, hey, how would you like 20 nights a season going to watch the Sabres, having a few beers, any married man would immediately go, yes!
Yes!
And, like, your mind can get clouded. You know, you can start doing, like, you know, mental gymnastics as to why your wife would be okay with you leaving.
Yeah, you're getting the sugar high.
Exactly, right? And then even like, oh, I just literally have 5 games I don't go to, and I'll like find a way to get rid of those tickets and everything's fine. And it's not until you make the agreement and you go home and tell your wife that everything gets a kibosh put on it, which puts you in another situation.
What was that?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Folks are waiting on hold. Again, Facebook message from John we got over the weekend. Long story short, he and his buddies went in on a Sabres half-season package that it cost him over $2,000 total. His buddy, a couple of days ago, bailed.
Mm-hmm.
Said his wife won't let him do it. I'm really sorry. There's nothing I can do. John is writing us asking what legal ramifications he could take. Why would you ask us that question?
Yes.
Says he has a text message that proof he was ready to pay. He wants to take him to small claims court. But John may have to be a little more understanding here. Let's talk to Phil. He's on CMF. Hey, Phil. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Phil.
Yeah, I watch People's Court all the time. And if he has a text or a email or anything that says, you know, somebody agreed to pay him for something and they don't, that could be used in the court. That's perfectly legal to show that they had, like, a contract.
All right, Phil, let me ask you this question. Whether or not it is legal, and I don't mean to, you know, downplay your People's Court experience. Phil, would you go that far to get money from a friend of yours? Because, like, that's going to shut down that friendship forever.
I guess it depends, but it's hard to say. I guess it depends on how close a friend the person was to me that wanted to go. I mean, I used to buy tickets to Bills games and for everybody, and I would always have to chase down a few guys, but they always ended up paying. But
you got a voice where you didn't have to tell us you had to chase down a few guys. You have chased down guys' voice. All right, but do you have sympathy for this unnamed man, John's friend, whose wife told him you can't go? Do you understand?
No, because he should have known if he had to run it by his wife. He should have known that.
All right, John, you married, buddy?
Am I? Not currently. I'm divorced.
Oh, you have been married.
Yes.
What's the stupidest thing you spent money on without telling your ex-wife?
Girlfriend?
I wouldn't call it stupid, but I bought a Harley Davidson bike when I was unemployed.
Were you unemployed without telling her?
Yes.
And you don't think that was stupid?
You bought a new Harley.
No, not new. It was used, but it was
how much?
Really great. About $8,500.
It was a deal, though.
Phil.
That's the kind of thing you can't sneak
home.
It
was great. It was probably worth $2,000 more than that.
Okay. He's making money, man.
Exactly.
No, but he's not because he was unemployed. All right, Phil, you sound like a great guy.
That's what I told her. I told her if I didn't get a job in 2 years, I'd sell it and I'd make all my money back.
Yeah. Two years! Phil, say you sold it. It's still $4,200 a year, Phil. I don't think you're making it in any country.
It doesn't matter. I didn't have to sell it. I got a job eventually.
Well, congrats on your job. And Phil, I don't mean to come down on you, buddy. I'm not attacking you here. I'm just trying to prove a point.
And Duffy, the reason I was able to do that is the way we had our finances set up is we had our joint savings, joint checking to take care of the household stuff, but we had our own personal checking accounts.
Right.
And that money came out of my account.
All right, Phil, so, I will only silently judge you. I won't judge you out loud anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil, thanks
Phil,
for the call,
the deadbeat
buddy.
Biker.
Have a good rest of the day. Well, did everybody these two? Well, it wasn't stupid, but I bought a Harley while I was unemployed. Okay. Going back to this unnamed man who has stiffed John for the Sabres half-season ticket package. Any married man can understand that very uncomfortable conversation when your wife decides that something you really want to do isn't something she wants you to do. And in that moment, while you are standing across from your spouse, you have to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You either let your buddy down or you make your home life miserable. And I guess the question I ask is, what's the smarter play? Is it the loyalty to your friend because you have made a commitment? Because there is an argument for that.
No.
Or is it to keep things smooth at home? When she stands in your way, what do you do?
What do you think?
Oh, well, you're a bitch. I know what you're going to do.
Yeah, but
I'm a smooth bitch.
You've been hit by.
He's dressed like a smooth bitch today.
He is dressed like a
smooth bitch. I'm a smooth bitch, man. I'm keeping the peace at home.
He's dressed like the bassist for a 60s soul group.
That's cool.
What he was aiming for.
Yeah, that's one of my dreams.
Kimmy, you were saying?
I think in this particular case, especially, you have to keep your wife happy because this is going to be a reminder over and over again. Like, this isn't just like a one and done, I'm going to go screw it and deal with it later.
Yeah.
This is like a thing that's going to come up for the next few months.
And I don't know what married guy, with he's got a lot of action going on at a certain age, can break away for 20 nights of fun without your OL.
So I'm looking at John here. He looks like he's in his 40s.
Yeah, he's
Facebook
locked
page.
In.
No, John's the guy who wrote us a Facebook message. Right. So maybe.
So let's say the guy's the same age.
Yeah.
40 years old, man. You're probably at your peak busiest time of being a husband.
Yeah, but there's guys right now in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that have Sabres season tickets, full seasons.
Lonely men. lonely men that have one recliner in their house. And their coffee table is also a milk crate.
Okay, so wait, I don't know what side you're on then.
I just know, like, you can't go up against the wife.
Can't fight wifey Hall?
No, especially for 20 nights. I can see if it was like a one and done trip, maybe you could sneak it off. But like to stand your ground, to Kimmy's point, for 20 nights of this constant reminder, there you go again. And they lost, and now they're not making the playoffs.
Not this year, buddy. Lindy's back, and they're going to show you stupid.
Lindy Ruff is back?
You're joking, right?
I forgot. I don't follow the Sabres that close.
Yeah. Again, listen to the Sabres live on CMF all season long, including tomorrow at 1 o'clock for their kickoff game.
Let's
Prague.
Go.
252 WCMF. We got more folks on hold. Sit there. Give me one second. I'm going to read some Facebook messages about this guy named John. Writes us the message over the weekend. Half Sabres season ticket package. He goes in on a with a buddy. Says, last week, a couple days ago, guy's like, can't do it. My wife said, I can't. Yeah. He's already paid for the ticket. Says it's on his credit card. He can't afford the over $2,000 on his own. He wants to take him to small claims court. The message comes asking us, how do I do that? Because you look like a lawyer today. Facebook message coming in. Ray writes us, this guy shouldn't be mad at his friend. We've all been there. He should be mad at his friend's wife. She should understand her husband made a commitment and he needs to hold up his end of the deal. It's not a bad point.
Okay. Good
should
luck.
Should it be on the wife to say, look, I don't like this, but you gave him your word. Your word is my word. Like, we're married.
She don't care about your word, man.
Your word? You should care about your spouse's word. It matters.
Oh, you should. You and I should.
No. Oh, wait, really? So if your wife was going to break an agreement she made, you'd stand up and go like, no, your word is important. You need to do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say a
no,
word.
That's my point, you idiot. You don't care about your word, or you don't care about her word, just like she wouldn't care about your word. And I think you
but
should.
But I would support her word.
You don't even know what you're saying.
I would support whatever she wants to do.
Kimmy, if your husband made a financial commitment
to something like this,
yes, would you feel that his word is more important than the financial pain this would put you in?
I'm confused.
Let's say exact scenario is this.
Yeah.
Your husband makes this commitment 20 nights a year. He's on the hook for over $1,000.
Yeah.
And you can't afford it.
Oh,
but he's already made the commitment.
Buddy.
Yes.
Okay.
Does his word matter more
than your financial ruin?
No.
No?
Of course not.
No, because...
Right. What do you think, Queen Chins?
No, but then your husband's going to be known as a guy that's backing out.
But if we can't afford it, like there are other things we could use that for.
Okay.
I mean, if it's one thing, like if he's secure in his in his finances and this was something that, you know, wouldn't affect us. But if we're struggling and you made a promise for these tickets, I'm like, yeah, no, you're going to have to figure your way out of this.
And you don't forget, you committed $1,000 before you even talked to her about it.
Over $1,000.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
you did
that too. Yeah, there's also the element of surprise in this where it's like, oh, by the way,
yeah,
I spent this money on this thing without talking to you first.
Here's the other thing that sucks.
Right.
Like if
I know something that ain't getting sucked.
If it's only like $2,600, $2,700. They're probably not even really good seats.
That's what I'm saying. So they're going to be hard to unload, right?
Exactly. And like if the Sabres...
So it's not even like something where you could flip.
Yeah. And like here's the thing.
Could you lose money on these?
Oh, he could easily lose money on these.
If the Sabres... he could be upside down on a Sabres ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, sit tight. We're going to the phones in 30 seconds. Elijah writes us, he should have confirmed that his buddy was still in before purchasing the tickets. How many times do you get ready to do something and people back out last minute? Simple fix, sell game tickets, go with a stranger. Now, you're not going to...
Go with a stranger. That's always fun.
And there's no guarantee that any stranger's going to want to go with you.
And what kind of stranger would that be?
Yeah.
That would be willing to sit next to you at a Sabres game?
Well, I have sat with strangers.
Yeah, but they're weirdos.
Perfect stranger.
Aren't they weirdos?
I always wonder the single ticket buyers. Yeah.
Hockey has a very weird subculture of people.
No, I think that hockey would be the easiest game to sit by yourself.
Yeah,
and
I think
watch.
You're not going to hockey unless you're a big fan of hockey.
Yeah,
you know what
but
I mean?
Every time I sat next to hockey people, they've been weird.
No, but you're weird. The hockey people are normal.
They offered me Twizzlers out of a paper bag.
Did you take them?
Well, yeah. I didn't want to be rude. I'm out of country.
Yeah. No, that's just Canadians being weird. That has nothing to do with hockey players.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a big honor for our airport, Tommy.
Oh, the airport?
Yep, and there's a lot of people taking a victory lap this morning. But even with these accolades, I think we need something explained to us.
Okay.
Because we can admit we are not the smartest people in the world
break
room, right? But what the hell does this do other than give some people a chance to pat themselves on the back?
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Definitely.
Over the past few years, the Frederick Douglass Rochester International Airport and Rug Emporium has undergone massive renovations.
Yeah. Right? Man, they sunk a ton in that.
Inside remodel, you got the kick-ass rainbow awning.
New restaurants, shopping.
And what feels like a constant turnstile of small airlines that'll show up, they'll offer cheap direct flights to strange cities twice a week. And today, that's no exception. Today, in fact, there is an airline that is offering the first direct flights to Las Vegas from Rochester since 2008.
Something like that,
Vegas, baby.
It's a big party.
The flight is literally like taking off as we speak. So, a lot of money spent on that.
Yeah.
Right? And there is no denying the airport looks better than it did 15 years ago.
Right.
And this morning, there is reason to celebrate.
So what happened?
Our airport has been named a top 10 small city airport in America.
Okay, top 10.
Top 10. It was a USA Today poll. We came in seventh place.
So for small cities, though. So
small cities. Yeah. Well, we are a small city.
Right, right. I'm saying, but not. It doesn't include all the airports.
No.
Yeah. It's the little one.
Now, there are a lot of people, Tommy,
that
have used this story yesterday to justify all of the work that has gone into the airport. This is proof that it was a job well done. And look, it is a lot nicer. It is a lot nicer.
Yes.
I just have one question.
What's that?
Why does it matter?
Well, so when people are, you know, coming here and, you know, changing flights and looking to get connections to other cities, they can really enjoy Rochester.
So let's put a pin in that for a second. What 252 WCMF, why does it matter if the airport in Rochester is modern and cool looking as opposed to a building where you get on and off a plane? Because to the point where you just said, there are cities where it matters.
Yeah.
For example, New York City gives you a bunch of options to fly in and out of.
And you can layovers.
Stuck. We talk about layovers. Places like Detroit, Atlanta, Baltimore, they're layover airports. There are people who will choose flights based on which airport they transfer through.
Spending time in.
Bingo.
Yeah, you don't make a connection at Rochester.
Exactly. If you're connecting or you have multiple airports in one city, it matters to stay modern. It doesn't really seem like it matters in Rochester.
So our airport could just be a tent.
I'm not, you're joking?
And probably the prices would be way cheaper to fly out, right?
Like, look, you're either flying in or flying out of Rochester, right? Most of the time, you're going to spend like 90 minutes there.
Yeah, you're not going to linger around and do a lot of retail.
No, you're not going to do that, no. The second your flight lands, you're out of the airport.
Yeah, well, we really
the taste
just need
of Rochester.
What's that?
I was going to say, we really just need the basics, right?
Below basics.
So what is the point of all the work they put in? And I ask that question sincerely because you, Tommy, and Kimmy, and myself, we're not airport experts, and we are willing to listen. So if there is a legitimate reason why all of that money put into the airport was justified, we'd love to hear it. Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because I guess if you want to make an argument, there is a competition with one airport.
Well, Buffalo.
Or Syracuse, I guess.
Well, Syracuse
but I think
is like
that's
losing
less
airlines.
Common.
Yeah, they lost Southwest. So, yeah. But Buffalo and Rochester seem to be battling it out to be the premier airport of.
But you're only going to Buffalo for cost, not because it's a better airport.
Bingo. Well, I think there's generally more flights in and out of Buffalo. Than,
yeah, but that's the only reason you're going there. Exactly. You're not going there. Yeah. That's a nice airport.
You're not going it because you have a choice between the two.
Bingo. Right? Yeah. So, like, you're going to Buffalo for something that Rochester just simply can't offer, either a cheaper flight or a flight to somewhere that is direct that you wouldn't get in Rochester. Right. I've never thought to myself, I'd rather fly out of Buffalo because it's a nicer airport.
Right. No.
And, like, the airport doesn't have a say in what the flights cost, right? The airlines set those prices.
Well, but the airport charges them.
I understand.
So that would also affect things.
Okay.
I don't know.
The price of the airport? Like the price that they're charged? The
no, so let's say you just sunk $50 million into this airport.
Sure.
Well, they're going to charge those airlines that cost is getting charged to somebody.
Okay, so
they're not going to eat it.
Let's just pause for a second, right?
Right.
Because, like, look, I feel like we're on the same page here, that maybe the money that was spent here wasn't necessary.
Right. Because you could have gotten lower airfare.
Okay, but you also agreed with me when I said that we don't know how this works. And you're doing that thing that you do.
What do I do?
Where instead of saying, hey, would it be possible if you just angrily make a statement? And then, because it came out of your mouth, you like imagine you heard someone else say it?
I'm pretty sure probably they could have passed those savings on to us.
Okay, wait, now you sound like a 1980s infomercial. We cut out the middleman and we pass those prices on to you.
Pennies turned into dollars.
Be dialing. No, like, we can have a legitimate discussion here without, like, jumping to conclusions that we don't know how an airport works.
Right, hey, they can take off your land.
Yeah, that's okay.
You're talking about pricing.
Okay.
Yeah, they charge you to land.
What are you talking about?
They charge you to land at the airport.
What do you mean they charge you?
They charge the airlines.
Okay, so they don't charge you to land. They charge the airline to land at the airport.
You know, you're going to pay for what
they're doing. Oh, my God. Will you shut up?
Let me tell you something. My tax dollars.
All right, I guess the question is this.
What's that?
As we talk about Rochester being named the seventh best airport, small city airport in America, and folks that have spent time and justified, tried to argue for all of the money that's gone into the improvements of the Frederick Douglass Rochester International Airport and Euro Central. If you could save $200 a flight each way,
yeah,
but for some reason the flight takes off from a shelter in the middle of the airfield, would you take that flight instead of spending the extra $400 combined?
And I mean, there'd be a line down the street to save that kind of bank.
Okay, no. I know that there would be people that would do it. Would you do it?
Yeah, I ain't got money. Well, I'm not fancy boy like you are. Jetting off to London over here.
Sure.
Going down there to the U.S. Open.
Did you just say...
Champagne pet boy.
Did you pet boy?
Yeah.
Why is there a boy on the end of it?
Always is.
Did you just say, while wearing a turtleneck sweater and a shacket with polka dot socks and penny loafers, that you're not a fancy man?
What's fancy about all that?
Okay, so it's 50 degrees out right now. Let's say you had a 7 o'clock flight. And
I'm going to say $400?
But you're in an open, it's just an awning, right? Yeah. You're in an open, outside.
And here comes the jet, pulls up, I get in.
You get right on.
I'm doing it. You don't think I'm man enough?
I'm not going to say anything. Kimmy, do you believe Tommy that he would do that to save the money?
I mean, you won't have anywhere to sit, most likely. You might be cold.
It might
ruin your shoes.
But I'd also be outside.
Yeah.
And when the plane pulls up, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Would there be any effect?
It may also really hurt your little ears.
So I'd have to put my hands over my ears?
Yes. No, not your ears.
My ears?
Little ears.
Thank you. I don't think you would take that extra. Like, you sit here and you crap on the money they spend on the airport. I think you would spend the extra $400.
I tell you what, my wife would.
Your wife would take the. Oh no, I believe that.
Do you think though, like you might do it once and then realize, oh, this is a different experience that I don't like, and then probably never do it again.
I mean, there's a possibility. But man, $400?
Yeah.
You know, it's always been fascinating to me because, you know, with us traveling the way we did, we spent a lot of time in airports, bus stations, train stations. I never understood why we invested so much money in airports, but not in bus stations and train stations, because people tend to spend more time in those things than they do in airports.
Like, nobody uses them as much, I guess. Not that many people take that as transportation, like long distance.
But do people not use them because they're afraid of what they look like?
Maybe you've never done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're always in really bad areas of town,
But that's the point that I'm making. You know what I mean?
But like, it's always been like that for some reason.
Well, I'm sure, like, you know, the train, you can't move the train tracks.
No, and that was probably established, you know, in the 1800s. That's why we got to do trains. Got to be beautiful around here.
It is disappointing, though, because if there was more investment throughout the years in, like, train travel, I would absolutely do that every time.
I had pleasant experiences taking the Amtrak, except that one time.
Every time I took the train, it sucked.
Really?
And the bus... Forget about it.
The bus is different.
Oh, I'm sorry. Man who said he could handle a shelter is not going to complain about bus and train travel. I'm not a fancy man. Ew. I don't like it. Excuse me. Where are your wipes to wipe down? My little table in front of a train seat. Thank you.
But even in like fancy cities, the trains always pull into the most crappy areas of the city. And if you're taking like odd hours, you're getting let off in the middle of the dark.
It's strange.
It's
right?
Sketch.
Middle of the dark.
Middle dark sketch.
But that's going to be the name of his autobiography, The Middle of the Dark.
You know what I mean.
And it's all about the inside of his head. No, but it's funny, right? Like, you never see, and I guess it wouldn't work because an airport wouldn't be in the middle of a city, but you never see an airport in a bad neighborhood.
No.
But you're right.
It's kind of out there a little bit.
It feels like every train station and bus station is in a place that you look around and you don't want to be in that city.
Yeah.
No, it's just...
Like, you already know about that city based on what you saw in 60 Minutes.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We got Facebook messages coming in again. Rochester, the Frederick Douglass Rochester International Airport and Pinwheel Sail Expo.
It has to be the only airport named after a person that never had been in a plane.
No, there's plenty of those.
I don't think so.
LaGuardia never got on a plane. Scared to fly.
Really?
No, you idiot. I just made that up. See how easy it is to make you believe things?
It's got to be the oldest name on an airport.
No, there has to be. There's not a Lincoln Airport somewhere. There's got to be. Abraham Lincoln Airport. Kimmy, can you Google it for me? Think about all the Washington. There's a George Washington Airport.
I don't think it's I think a Washington Airport, named after the city, but I don't think it's a George Washington, first president of the United States airport.
What's Washington, the city named after?
No, but I'm saying the airport is named after the town.
Oh, I forgot they named George Washington after the city that he in the country moved to, you idiot.
No, wait.
They didn't name the airport after George Washington. They named it after the city. The
airport in Washington, D.C. is named after Reagan. It's Dulles. Reagan and Dulles.
Dulles. No, I understand. I know there's a
Bobby Dulles flew, baby.
Bobby Dulles?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Member of the Rat Pack.
Start spreading your actual wings.
He was wearing that same outfit you wear today. Bro, there's no way that Frederick Douglass is the only man that never flew on a plane where an airport is named after him.
But it is weird, like, because we did it recently, too. Like,
no, I know what you mean. It is, look.
I mean, there's a million things that honor the guy with.
We had this discussion of, like this kind of felt like one of those things, like something else is going to happen racially in this town. Yeah. And folks are going to be like, oh, we need the airport after him. Good enough. See what we did. We did enough.
True.
Kimmy, what do we have for a George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson?
I couldn't find a George Washington app. Airport, but there is the Abraham Lincoln Capital Airport in Illinois.
It has to be Springfield.
Springfield. You're right.
What a stupid take you have.
Well, they were also buddies.
Yes, I understand.
So probably Lincoln was pulling for him.
You think that's what it was? Yeah. After
Freddie got my own airport, man. Don't let him stiff you.
No, actually, that statue downtown where they're shaking hands, they're talking about who's going to get their airport first. 25 GWCMF with Rochester being named a top 7 small city airport in the country. A lot of people saying, see, all the money we spent on the airport, justified, but I don't know why it matters.
Because, it's not going to increase anything.
We got Facebook messages coming in. Blake has a theory.
Oh, Blake.
We'll get to Blake's theory in a second, but first, let's talk to Barber because we were talking about bus stations and train
stations. Yeah.
He's on CMF. Hey, Barber, how are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. Before I get to my point, if you can find a little short-billed baseball hat, Tommy would look like a Major League Baseball umpire who only calls foul balls.
But you were saying, Barbara.
Have you ever been to the train/bus station in Utica, Central Station?
Yes, I have.
I mean, that sounds lovely.
It's gorgeous. It is designed just like the old Grand Central in New York City with the marble columns.
It's in Utica.
Really?
In fresco.
So Utica and Schenectady, Albany, have really good-looking train stations.
Do they have
stations.
A lot of people like coming in and out that way, maybe?
New York City,
Albany. Yeah,
that makes sense.
But even that really nice train station in Albany, Barber, is in not the greatest neighborhood.
Mm. Utica wasn't a bad area, but it's been gentrified, and there's like a lot of new restaurants, and a brewery just opened up across the street, a
brewery now?
Well, you know how to make a train station work.
What do you do?
Put a brewery in it.
Put a brewery. Well, actually, what they did is it was run down years ago, and what they did is they put the DMV in there and probation.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of lovely people I'm going to run into.
But it's really nice. So there's a nice restaurant in there, and it has the last functioning barber shop in a train station in the United States. Old school, like a 3-seater. And
hey, Barber, I love you, buddy. That's the stupidest fact I've ever heard in my life.
Got a 3-seater old school barbershop.
They have the last functioning barbershop inside a train station in America.
Had one of them razor straps and everything.
Well, Tommy would love it because they still would give you the real thick foam books to put in the chair so he'd be high enough for the haircut.
Oh, yeah, he loves white foam all over his face whenever he can get it. Barber, thanks for the call, buddy. The last functioning barbershop
in a train station in America.
If any of you are looking for Utica train station facts, you've come to the right place, the break room. Going back to the airport thing and asking why you wouldn't just have a tent where you can catch flights in Rochester. Blake writes us, I don't know about airports. Good start. Oh, I get it. But maybe nicer airports attract better airlines. Are they looking for more modern places, which then give travelers more options?
That could be an argument. But I don't know. Do airlines care about stuff like that?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, because Spirit's here now, and Allegiant is or was here.
I mean,
now.
The top carriers are here, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to be everywhere.
Yeah,
because
like
they own the place, right? Like, I mean, like the
talking
smaller
about those unique
those
flights
regional
that we talk
carriers
about.
Yeah. And stuff like that.
Do they prefer nicer looking airports? Does it attract smaller carriers?
Size of the airport would matter more than the quality of it,
but again,
right? Just because you need the space and the amount of people buying those flights.
It's probably not. It's probably a bad discussion to have, seeing as how none of us have any knowledge how this works. But I do know now.
What's that?
If I'm looking to get a haircut at a train station in America,
where are you going?
The only place I could go is the train/bus station in Utica.
All right, so if I walked up to you and I said, pardon me, boy, you know where I can get a cut and a shave?
Yes, sir, the Utica train station. That is actually a song that's on a record, I think. Right. It's called Cutting Hair in Utica. Look, I understand that we all went through this, right? And maybe your knee-jerk reaction is to not be put in a spot you were in before. But the fact that we all did this made life harder for absolutely everybody. And here's the ass kicker. You don't even need to do it.
Yeah.
You can't Google before you decide to start hoarding.
It's too late.
You're hanging out in the break room, right? It's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So as we speak, the dock workers strike across the eastern seaboard, port strike, and down into the Gulf continues, right? And now that it looks like there isn't going to be a simple, quick, soon fix, folks are starting to talk about what we could be going without.
Yeah, shortages.
You got it. Folks potentially worried about coming up short have started going to the grocery store to get the stuff that they don't want to not have in the house.
The staples.
You got it. You got it. They're going to ride it out for the long haul. And another incident where toilet paper has become something people started grabbing.
So it's the go-to grab item, right?
Yes. Immediately.
Yeah, before water or cans of tuna fish.
Well, I mean, you don't need to import water from Europe.
No, but you don't need to do this either.
But you're saying, like, stocking up just in general.
Like, this is what you grab first, though.
Okay, so here's the thing. You said you saw a story yesterday at a BJ's
in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, and there was a line out the door.
Yeah, in and out. And they were coming out with just cartloads of this stuff.
Okay, so it turns out there is no need to hoard toilet paper.
No.
Not because they think they have enough coming in through the ports, but because 90% of the toilet paper we use... is made in America.
Wait, American it's not made. European toilet paper?
It is not, unless you are someone like Tommy. You are not buying fancy European toilet paper.
Euro wipes?
Euro wipes, no.
Yeah.
And even past that, let's say we went through the 90% of all the toilet paper in America. The other 10% of the toilet paper we use is mostly made in Canada and Mexico. And those toilet papers come in on trucks. So in no way can this port strike affect how much toilet paper we're going to have.
Yeah.
Why are we so stupid?
I don't know.
What? You didn't look.
It's learned behavior.
Okay. And it's you see somebody panicking and then it's like a domino effect. Yeah. Well, they're stocking up, so I better stock up before it's gone.
But, it's an ass chain reaction.
Okay, but that's just it. Like now people feel like they actually have to go get toilet paper because so many people have started hoarding toilet paper.
Right, so now I got to go make sure I got some toilet paper.
Okay, but like if you're worried about not having toilet paper, right? Like with COVID there was no answer. You didn't know when it was going to come to an end.
We didn't know anything.
Exactly. So like although it was not good, logically it made sense.
Right.
In this situation, all you had to do was Google, will there be a toilet paper shortage? And immediately it would have said no, because 90% of our toilet paper is American made. Red, white, and blue wipes.
America.
Yes.
But I would even think after going through COVID at this point, it would make you worry a little less about the supply of things. Because even during COVID, like maybe you had to wait a little longer to get things. But I can't think of something like that was completely gone forever.
I know we're forgetting something.
But it was the fear of the unknown, though, back then. Like,
yeah,
you didn't
but
know
that's
how
what I... But I guess that's my point, is like, we got through it, and now you kind of know, and you saw, like, oh, maybe we panicked a little bit there over some things, so maybe we'll be fine here.
But that's the funny thing about panic, is when panic sets in, logic flies out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And... it's actually the funniest part about this is it's not just the toilet paper. We found out yesterday and throughout the week that there will be a handful of items that will be shorted.
Yeah.
Bananas being one of them.
Sure. Which is an imported tropical fruit.
You got it. Like, very bothersome. I'm eating every banana like it might be my last.
Okay.
Because you know how important bananas are to this show. This banana, the break room runs on bananas.
Yeah.
That being said, stories yesterday say that this shortage that people are expecting may not hit the way we think it will.
Oh.
Because it turns out that the buyers in these ports, you know, big businesses, have known for months that there was a potential for a strike. So, just in case, they started overbuying things.
So they stocked up the warehouse.
You got it. There are warehouses and stores that already have extra things anticipated that won't... contract won't get done. Now, here's the thing. If this goes a few weeks, certain things could start to get a little scarce. But for now... at least according to the experts, there isn't really anything you have to worry about.
So relax.
Unless, of course, you're a morning show that runs on bananas, in case you're totally screwed. In which case, you're totally screwed. But yes, like, just read something first, man. Like, just there's news everywhere all the time.
Yeah, but not everybody has the luxury.
Any question you have can be immediately answered. Just ask the question.
Well, I don't know, unless you're asking, you know, Jan down the street.
Don't ask Jan. Jan doesn't know. What does Jan know?
I saw on the internet today that they're going to run out of toilet paper, so you better go get your toilet paper.
This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're hoarding a product that's made in America out of fear it won't be able to be imported. That is happening right now. 252 WCMF again. There are stores across America reporting that there are folks lining up to hoard toilet paper because of the strike at the ports, docks, up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Problem is, 90% of our toilet paper made in America. The other 10% made mostly in Canada and Mexico, and you don't need a boat to bring stuff in from Canada and Mexico. Comes over on trucks. Mm. So what's the next thing to be hoarded then? So I guess like sugar and cocoa or cacao? Is that...
So all the imported like spices and everything?
You got it. That could be affected if this goes a couple
cocoa,
of weeks.
Cocoa, all that stuff, yeah.
They said imported wines, beers could be affected
all
by
right,
that stuff.
Coffees could come... Coffee would come overseas.
I thought that was...
Well, that can come up through Mexico,
yeah.
Can it?
It can, but if you drink like the stuff I drink, it comes out of Italy.
Oh, so if you're a douche?
Yeah. But you can have coffee. Like, you may have to change your brand, but you can get coffee if you want coffee.
How do you jump on my team here and make fun
of
these people?
What about my Italian coffee, though?
That just fell out of your stupid Italian mouth.
So, and I drink Irish whiskey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unless they move Ireland over here, I gotta load up.
They don't distill Jameson here?
No, it's distilled in Ireland.
Are you sure there aren't some distilleries here?
St. James Street, Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I remember there being a story about that a couple of years
ago. And if you drink imported, like if you like Guinness and stuff like that, all that stuff's going to be a problem.
So the funniest one was I was watching Under the Desk News on TikTok, V, you know, big fan. And she was talking about, she goes, the French cheese.
Okay.
French cheese could be a problem.
All right.
So if you had any French cheese parties coming up, you may want to delay those.
All right. Put the brakes on your French cheese party.
How many people in America
consume
French cheese to the point where like this is going to ruin?
They're really going to be out of luck without their French wine to go with that French cheese.
But can't you eat like cheese that's made like a Wisconsin, same cheese?
Can't you drink like coffee made here, like same coffee?
You could. I wouldn't lower myself.
By the way, Irish whiskey is only distilled in Ireland. The Irish Whiskey Act of 1950 states that Irish whiskey must be distilled in Ireland. Anything made outside of Ireland disqualifies a spirit from being classified as an Irish whiskey.
See?
So there's like a couple of things that I consume on a daily basis I need.
So you're going to go hoard Jameson?
I always keep a case at the house.
How long does that case last you?
6 bottles, 7 weeks.
Okay, you better hope to God they figure this out. How about Tommy will be out there trying to, guys, let's figure this out. I think there's good points on both sides here.
Hey, coffee's the other big one. I always keep cases.
I love how, like, we start this break with, like,
Don't panic.
Yeah, who needs this stuff? my fancy is going away.
Well, ever since COVID, I always make sure we have, like, certain things, like, on hand all the time, like that.
So wait a minute.
So I'm constantly...
So you're stocked up.
We always kind of say stocked up.
Kimmy just said you ended up being fine. You're like, yeah. You don't need... we didn't. It was a mystery. No, now we know. And you literally follow it up with, since COVID, we hoard.
Not hoard. Stocked up. I just like we have boxes in the living room.
You got an extra bottle at all times.
No, he's got 6 extra bottles. He said he's
in
got a case.
In the basement.
That's right. Hoarding.
That's a case. You buy a case.
Did the light just break?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I was having a stroke.
All right, good too. Yeah, that did scare me a little bit.
Got alarming.
All right. I love how we're all so racked with illness that all three of us thought we were dying in a different ways.
Well, I thought my hearing aids like just shorted out or something.
All right, let's take a break. Stop hoarding toilet paper and bananas are what you have to worry about.
Yes.
All right. Look, I understand that we all went through this, right? And maybe your knee-jerk reaction is to not be put in a spot you were in before. But the fact that we all did this made life harder for absolutely everybody. And here's the ass kicker. You don't even need to do it.
Yeah.
You can't Google before you decide to start hoarding.
It's too late.
You're hanging out in the break room, right? It's just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. So as we speak, the dock workers' strike across the Eastern Seaboard, port strike, and down into the Gulf continues, right? And... now that it looks like there isn't going to be a simple, quick, soon fix, folks are starting to talk about what we could be going without.
Yeah, shortages.
You got it. Folks potentially... potentially worried about coming up short have started going to the grocery store to get the stuff that they don't want to not have in the house.
The staples.
You got it. You got it. They're going to ride it out for the long haul. And another... It's another incident where toilet paper has become something people started grabbing.
So it's the go-to grab item, right?
Yes, immediately.
Yeah, before water or cans of tuna fish.
Well, I mean, you don't need to import water from Europe.
No, but like, but you don't need to do this either.
But you're saying like stocking up just in general.
Like this is what you grab first, though.
Okay, so here's the thing. You said you saw a story yesterday at a BJ's
in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, and there was a line out the door.
Yeah, in and out. And they were coming out with just cartloads of this stuff.
Okay, so it turns out there is no need to hoard toilet paper.
No.
Not because they think they have enough coming in through the ports, but because 90% of the toilet paper we use is made in America.
Wait, it's not made. European toilet paper?
It is not, unless you are someone like Tommy. You are not buying fancy European toilet
paper. Euro wipes?
Euro wipes, no.
Yeah.
And even past that, let's say we went through the 90% of all the toilet paper in America. The other 10% of the toilet paper we use is mostly made in Canada and Mexico. And those toilet papers come in on trucks. So in no way can this port strike affect how much toilet paper we're going to have.
Yeah.
Why are we so stupid?
I don't know.
What? You didn't look.
It's learned behavior.
Okay. And it's you see somebody panicking and then it's like a domino effect. Yeah. Well, they're stocking up, so I better stock up before it's gone.
But it's an ass chain reaction.
Okay, but that's just it. Like now people feel like they actually have to go get toilet paper because so many people have started hoarding toilet paper.
Right, so now I got to go make sure I got some toilet paper.
Okay, but like if you're worried about not having toilet paper, right? Like with COVID there was no answer. You didn't know when it was going to come to an end.
We didn't know anything.
Exactly. So like although it was not good, logically it made sense.
Right.
In this situation, all you had to do was Google, will there be a toilet paper shortage? And immediately it would have said no, because 90% of our toilet paper is American made. Red, white, and blue wipes.
America.
Yes.
But I would even think after going through COVID at this point, it would make you worry a little less about the supply of things. Because even during COVID, like maybe you had to wait a little longer to get things. But I can't think of something like that was completely gone forever.
I know we're forgetting something.
But it was the fear of the unknown back then.
Like, I guess that's my point is like we got through it and now you kind of know and you saw like, oh, maybe we panicked a little bit there over some things. So maybe we'll be fine here.
But that's the funny thing about panic is when panic sets in, logic flies out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's actually the funniest part about this is it's not just the toilet paper. We found out yesterday and throughout the week that there will be a handful of items that will be shorted.
Yeah.
Bananas being one of them.
Sure. It's an imported tropical fruit.
You got it. Like very bothersome. I'm eating every banana like it might be my last.
Okay.
Because you know how important bananas are to this show. This banana, the break room runs on bananas.
Yeah.
That being said, stories yesterday say that this shortage that people are expecting may not hit the way we think it will.
Oh.
Because it turns out that the buyers in these ports, you know, big businesses, have known for months that there was a potential for a strike. So, just in case, they started overbuying things.
So they stocked up the warehouse.
You got it. There are warehouses and stores that already have extra things anticipating they won't... contract won't get done. Now, here's the thing. If this goes a few weeks, certain things could start to get a little scarce. Mm. But for now... At least according to the experts, there isn't really anything you have to worry about.
So relax.
Unless, of course, you're a morning show that runs on bananas in case you're totally screwed. In which case, you're totally screwed. But yes, like, just read something first, man. Like, just there's news everywhere all the time.
Yeah, but not everybody has the luxury.
Any question you have can be immediately answered. Just ask the question.
Well, I don't know, unless you're asking, you know, Jan down the street.
Don't ask Jan. Jan doesn't know. What does Jan know?
I saw on the internet today that they're going to run out of toilet paper, so you better go get your toilet paper.
This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're hoarding a product that's made in America out of fear it won't be able to be imported. That is happening right now. 252-WCMF again. There are stores across America reporting that there are folks lining up to hoard toilet paper because of the strike at the ports, docks, up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Problem is, 90% of our toilet paper made in America. The other 10% made mostly in Canada and Mexico. And you don't need a boat to bring stuff in from Canada and Mexico. Comes over on trucks. So what's the next thing to be hoarded then? So, I guess like sugar and cocoa or cacao. Is that?
So all the imported like spices and everything?
You got it. That could be affected if this goes a couple
cocoa,
of weeks.
Cocoa, all that stuff, yeah.
They said imported wines, beers could be affected
all
by
right,
that stuff.
Coffees could come. Coffee would come overseas.
I thought that was...
Well, that can come up through Mexico, can it?
It can, but if you drink like the stuff I drink, it comes out of Italy.
Oh, so if you're a douche?
But you can have coffee. Like, you may have to change your brand, but you can get coffee if you want coffee.
How do you jump on my team here and make fun
of
these people?
What about my Italian coffee, though?
That just fell out of your stupid Italian mouth.
So, and I drink Irish whiskey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Unless they move Ireland over here, I got to load up.
They don't distill Jameson here?
No, it's distilled in Ireland.
Are you sure there aren't some distilleries here?
St. James Street, Dublin, Ireland.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I remember there being a story about that a couple of years
ago. And if you drink imported, like if you like Guinness and stuff like that, all that stuff's going to be a problem.
So the funniest one was I was watching Under the Desk News on TikTok, V, you know, big fan. And she was talking about, she goes, the French cheese.
Okay.
French cheese could be a problem.
All right.
So if you had any French cheese parties coming up, you may want to delay those.
All right. Put the brakes on your French cheese party.
How many people in America
consume
French cheese to the point where like this is going to ruin?
They're really going to be out of luck without their French wine to go with that French cheese.
But can't you eat like cheese that's made like a Wisconsin same cheese?
Can't you drink like coffee made here, like same coffee?
You could. I wouldn't lower myself.
By the way, Irish whiskey is only distilled in Ireland. The Irish Whiskey Act of 1950 states that Irish whiskey must be distilled in Ireland. Anything made outside of Ireland disqualifies a spirit from being classified as an Irish whiskey.
See?
So there's like a couple of things that I consume on a daily basis I need.
So you're going to go hoard Jameson?
I always keep a case at the house.
How long does that case last you?
6 bottles, 7 weeks.
Okay, you better hope to God they figure this out. How about Tommy will be out there trying to, guys, let's figure this out. I think there's good points on both sides here.
Hey, coffee's the other big one. I always keep cases.
I love how, like, we start this break with, like,
Don't panic.
Yeah, who needs your stuff? my fancy is going away.
Well, ever since COVID, I always make sure we have, like, certain things, like, on hand all the time, like that.
So wait a minute.
So I'm constantly...
So you're stocked up.
We always kind of say stocked up.
Kimmy just said you ended up being fine. You're like, yeah. You don't need... we didn't. It was a mystery. No, now we know. No. And you literally follow it up with, since COVID, we hoard.
Not hoard. Stocked up. I just like we have boxes in the living room.
You got an extra bottle at all times.
No, he's got 6 extra bottles. He said he's
in
got a case.
A case in the basement.
That's right. Hoarding.
That's a case. You buy a case.
Did the light just break?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I was having a stroke. All right,
yeah, me too. Yeah, that did scare me a little bit.
Got alarming.
All right. I love how we're all so racked with illness that all three of us thought we were dying in a different ways.
Well, I thought my hearing aids like just shorted out or something.
All right. Let's take a break. Stop. Horton toilet paper and bananas are what you have to worry about.
Yes.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.